Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapter 34. In this chapter, we read of good King Josiah of Judah, who came to the throne when he was only 8 years old, and he began a reform of the nation when he was only a teenager. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites, who kept the doors and gathered from the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, from all the remnant of Israel, from all Judah and Benjamin, and which they had brought back to Jerusalem. Then they put it in the hand of the foreman who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house. And the men did the work faithfully. Others of the Levites, all of whom were skillful with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did work in any kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, with some background notes. Remember to differentiate between King Josiah and King Joash, because it's easy to confuse these two kings of Judah. Both were good kings and brought a measure of reform to Judah, and both were boy kings. So it's easy to confuse these two good kings of Judah, but they are not the same king. Joash comes about 200 years before Josiah. We see in verse 1 of our chapter that Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. So Josiah reigned from 640 BC down to 609 BC. And during his reign, the greatest revival in the kingdom of Judah took place. Josiah's revival is dated at 621 BC. We see in verse 3 that when Josiah was only 16 years old, he had a heart for the Lord and wanted to do God's will. And when he was only 19 years old, that is, in the 12th year of his reign, he began his reform in Jerusalem, verses 3 and 4. In verse 5, we have the fulfillment of a prophecy spoken more than 300 years before this time. The occasion was when wicked King Jeroboam was practicing idolatry at the golden calf shrine of Bethel. I'm reading 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Here in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 34, this prophecy is fulfilled. Josiah also burned the bones of the priests on their altars. In verses 6 and 7, we see that Josiah took the reform north into the former northern kingdom of Israel and destroyed the idols and images in many of the northern cities. And then we see in verse 8 that when Josiah was 25 years old, he began a major repair project of the temple of the Lord. And we see in the verses that follow how the work was done efficiently, honestly, and faithfully. What a great testimony to the leadership of King Josiah. And that brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Doctrinal point number 1. The right attitude towards the will of God brings confirmation from the Word of God. The right attitude towards the will of God brings confirmation from the Word of God. Verses 14 through 28. Now, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants, they are doing. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, and they spoke to her to that effect. Then she answered them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burnt incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. So they brought back word to the king. As we read these verses, the first question that comes to mind is, where had all the Bibles gone? So that only one copy was available, and that was hidden in the temple. Not even the king himself had a copy of Scripture. Why were no copies of Scripture available until one was found in the temple? Answer. First of all, there were not a lot of copies of the law and other written portions of the Old Testament to begin with, because this time was well before the time of the printing press, and all scriptures had to be painstakingly copied by hand. And then, of course, during the reigns of wicked kings Manasseh and Amon, the copies of scripture that were available were destroyed. In fact, the copy that was found in the temple was probably hidden there during the wicked part of Manasseh's reign. However, it was not like the people were totally ignorant of God's law and what God desired on the part of his people, because there were prophets around, like Jeremiah and Zephaniah at this time. And there certainly would be some godly Levites and other folks around who knew the law of the Lord and what was right for God's people. Well, Josiah showed the right attitude towards the things of God, even though he did not have a copy of the law. He wanted to do what was right. He wanted the will of the Lord to be done. He began to reform, and he began to repair the house of the Lord. And notice what is the result. As Josiah was doing what he knew to be God's will, the word of God was found, and it was read and interpreted, and it confirmed Josiah's godly activity. Now, do you see the spiritual lesson? The right attitude towards the will of God brings confirmation from the Word of God. In John chapter 7 and verse 17, the Lord Jesus said, if anyone wills to do God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God. John chapter 7, verse 17. There's the key to having the Word of God confirm what we believe and how we live. A willingness to do God's will. Are we willing to do God's will? Or do we only want God to confirm what we want to do? Think it through. It may be a bigger problem in your life than you realize. Remember, the right attitude towards the will of God brings confirmation from the Word of God. Doctrinal point number two, the right response to the Word of God brings conversion to the way of God. The right response to the Word of God brings conversion to the way of God. Verses 29 through 33. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. We've seen that when the word of God was read and understood, Josiah and the people showed the right response. Josiah tore his clothes, a sign of repentance for himself and the nation, as he recognized how far short of God's way the nation had come. And then when Huldah, the prophetess, confirmed that the judgment of God would fall on Judah, the king responded in the right way and intensified his reform throughout Judah and all Israel. He made sure that everyone, from the greatest to the least, heard the word of the Lord. Verse 30. The fact that Josiah knew that he would personally escape the coming judgment did not stop his right response of full commitment to see that the nation was reformed and converted to the way of God. The fact that Josiah would die in peace before the coming judgment may be a spiritual picture here of the church being raptured before the judgments of the tribulation period. We see in verses 32 and 33 that because of Josiah's inspiring and motivating leadership and right response to the word of God, many in Jerusalem and in all Israel turned to the Lord. We read at the end of verse 33 that all Josiah's days, they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. The right response to the word of God brings conversion to the way of God. Now, what about practical application from 2 Chronicles chapter 34? Let's not limit the way of the Lord. Let's not limit the way of the Lord. When folks respond to the word of God in the right way and begin to follow the way of God, the result is not only salvation, but change in lifestyle as well. No longer are the selfish goals of this world what motivate the believer. At least they shouldn't be. Unfortunately, some Christians limit the way of the Lord to salvation only and live their Christian lives in line with the ways of the world. Let's not limit the way of the Lord. Illustration. Recently, two Christian football coaches in the NFL were asked about their coaching styles, and their response was that they followed the way of the Lord. What a great testimony. That is, winning was not everything. There were higher goals. All team members were treated with dignity. High moral standards were expected, even in the language used in the locker room. The way of the Lord can be followed in all areas of life. Let's not limit the way of the Lord.